Good morning. We are continuing our series of talks. I guess we could call them the uncomfortable talks. And today's is going to be called Seek Incorporeality. Now, we discussed in previous talks how we look out with our five physical senses and see only images and thought. And then we love or we fear or we hate these images and never see the reality. And I know it's uncomfortable to think that you've been living with someone for 20 or 30 or 40 years and never seen the reality of them, and perhaps only loved an image in the mind. Yet if we would see reality, if we would come up over this world, if we would stand in the heaven of here and now, we must be willing to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is, by the renewing of our vision. Now, we need to discuss incorporeality. And I know that's kind of perhaps difficult to conceive, but I don't want you to conceive of it. That's not going to help. What we need is the conscious awareness of our own incorporeality, and then the conscious awareness of the incorporeality of all life. And so we'll look at Joel's chapter called, in the book Beyond Words and Thoughts, called Chapter 10, Incorporeality, God, Man, and Universe. That's probably the best chapter ever on giving you hints on how you can go about catching a glimpse of incorporeality. We're also going to look at the Kailua Study Series, Chapter 7, called What About This Body? And we're going to look at our good friend Jacob Bema, our German friend from the 1500s and 1600s. Okay, so let us get started with this chapter in Beyond Words and Thoughts, which should tell you something right there, that you're going to have to go beyond words and beyond thoughts. Now, he says, incorporeal God cannot give birth to a corporeal man, only to incorporeal man. An incorporeal man has no physical structure. Therefore, in your meditation, prayer, and treatment, those on the mystical path must remove from thought the image man, the corporeal man, the man who has physicality, because that man is not the man of God's creation. For this reason, prayer, which is the communion between God and man, can never take place between incorporeal God and corporeal man. And we know that, well, elsewhere, I remember Joel saying that when you sit down to do healing work, you must first eliminate the patient, and then you must eliminate yourself. And what is left can receive the word or commune with God. You remember that? Remember him saying that? And so you see, whenever he sat down to meditation, he eliminated any corporeal sense of self and any corporeal sense of another. Then, standing in his own incorporeality, which is the one incorporeality of all life, it revealed itself to his awareness. He became aware of it as a present reality. And he did that in every single meditation. And he says here, if I look out at a group of persons with my eyes, I can be aware only of corporeal man. The natural part of me, the five physical senses, can be aware only of the five physical senses of you. If I am limited to that consciousness, however, I have no right to be a metaphysical practitioner or a teacher, and I have no right to claim to have attained any degree of the mystical consciousness. And so do you see how he's saying here that if I am dwelling in a natural mind with five physical senses and I'm looking out, I can be aware only of the five physical sense self of you, or the corporeal sense of you, which is nothing? And do you see where he says that in order to have the mystical consciousness, we must step out of that? Here I am living in a five physical sense of self, looking at you, saying I love you, a five physical sense of self. All of this is taking place in the realm of mental images. And God didn't create any of it. Do you see the depths or the heights we have to attain? We must die to all of that, even if it's painful to let it go. We must rise into mystical consciousness where we become aware of a real incorporeality of ourselves and others. So, he says here on the next page, the point is that each of us is in part a physical being. That's the five physical sense self. Each of us is a mental being. That's the thinking self. And each of us is an incorporeal spiritual being. And the reality of us is that incorporeal spiritual selfhood, which is born of God. And so you see, not by might, not by a physical sense of self, can you do anything or help anyone. Not by power, not by any mental sense of self, can you do anything. But when all of that is stopped, and you're standing in a cloud of unknowing, then the incorporeal self of them, which is your incorporeal self, which is the incorporeal self, can reveal itself to your awareness. The other part of us, he says, is that creation described in the second and third chapter of Genesis, which was made not by God, but by mind. By the mind of man, by what is called Lord God. If I am to acknowledge God, I must acknowledge incorporeal God. And that means not only that I cannot embrace it in a figure or a form, I cannot even embrace it in a mental image. And I dare not even name it. See? He's instructing us to go beyond words and thoughts. If we would know our partner, if we would know our spouse, if we would know our child, if we would know our parent, if we would know our sibling, if we would know our neighbor, if we would know our friend, if we would know our enemy, if we would know our beloved, then we must be willing to set aside the creation of mind. Yes, it's kind of sat, but I may have been in love with the creation of mind, which was not made by God, which means it has no real existence other than a universal series of concepts. Well, then what am I to do? I can't sit down and just think, well, here is the Christ. That doesn't help anything. That doesn't give me the awareness. That's using the mind. I have to do something. And he says here, the answer is, how can you ever embrace in your mind what omnipotence and omnipresent mean? You cannot. Therefore, release all concepts. Let them go. Do not try to understand God. Do not try to embrace God in your mind. Well, how then are you to know God aright? Ah, says Joel, that you can do. You can know God aright. God is. Then let God define itself. And so you come to the realization, he says, that in the final analysis, you cannot know God with your mind. But God can announce itself to you. God can say, I will be with thee to the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yes. He says, all you will ever know about God is the word I. And how do you define I? Can you define it? Can you define your incorporeality? Can you put it in a box? Can you explain it? Explain your incorporeal I. Would you please? You can't. You can't. And so if you are willing to stop using the senses and stop using the mind, first in your meditation, then the incorporeal I of the universe, of yourself, of herself and hisself, will announce itself. It will reveal itself. It will move into your awareness. And when that happens to you, you have reached that state of consciousness where you are ready for the mystical life. He says. Now, this is the reason, says Joel, it's been possible to write or cable me from any part of the world and be healed before the message reached me, physically. Because I have recognized my incorporeality. I have recognized that I am not in a body. I am speaking through the body, but I am not in the body. And I have a little note here in the margin, as per Kailua chapter 7. Let's go over there now and see what that says. Because I made that note some years ago. It says, the body is the Word made flesh. Now let me explain to you. When you sit still and attain that silence, and know that your mind, with your senses and with your mind, you cannot know the reality of your spouse, of your partner, of your beloved. And when you are willing to sit still, Father, reveal thyself. What is this Word made flesh? Then into your awareness will spring an incorporeality, an incorporeal self, an incorporeality of I. And you won't be able to explain it or pin it down in your mind, but you won't be functioning in your mind at that point. You'll be in mystical consciousness, resting in the awareness of the isness of incorporeality. And so he says here in chapter 7, the body is the Word made flesh. That is the body that you experience here in this meditation. The incorporeal body, your real body, your real self, and your spouse's real self, and the real self of all life. That is the Word made flesh. But because the physical sense has intervened, all you can see with your eyes is the concept of body. And so you look out at incorporeality, and the mind shows you a concept of that incorporeality, which is called your spouse, your love. Now, I'm not saying that you can't love that. I'm saying that if you love the concept, then you're loving that which God did not make. And Joel tells us repeatedly, in the mystical path, you cannot love, fear, or hate that which is appearing. But in your meditation, you can go beyond that. You can commune with the incorporeality being that is your spouse. And that you can love with all your mind, heart, and soul and being. And that automatically, when you are loving that with all your heart, mind, soul, and being, it automatically manifests as loving action out here. It's automatic. So, in chapter 7, he says, the concept must die. Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? The mental concept you have entertained all these years of your spouse, your son, your granddaughter, your mother, that mental concept must die. It has to die. You can't go beyond it until it does. When it dies, simultaneously there's a resurrection of the incorporeality of them, which is the resurrection of the incorporeality of you. And so even the concept that you entertain of yourself, says Joel, must die, for that concept can never know God. As you entertain a concept of yourself as man or woman, as effect, as sinful or sickly or healthy or wealthy, as human, that concept of yourself must die until you become aware. No, I am that I am, and that is what I am. When that realization comes, your old concept of yourself has died. You have fulfilled Paul's statement, you must die daily, you must be reborn of the Spirit. Now, do you see? You see the point to which we're leading here in this group? We have said we want to live in Christ consciousness. Okay, fine. Here is the way. Concept of the Word made flesh, your concept of the invisible incorporeality, you have been loving that concept, or in the case of an enemy, perhaps fearing that concept. But they're all concepts, and they must die, including the concept you've had, lo, these 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years of yourself. That concept must die, because that concept can never know God. Your physical sense of self, which is the concept of your own incorporeality, is not your own incorporeality. It's a concept, and it cannot know your own incorporeality. And your concept of mind and all the concepts that are in your mind also must die, because a concept in the mind is never going to be incorporeality. And so to think that you can think of Christ or visualize Christ or draw a picture of Christ in your mind, even if it's a beautiful picture, it's not Christ. It's not the incorporeality of I. So this must die too. And it must die in every meditation from now on. If you're sitting down to help someone, as he said, first you must eliminate the patient. You must eliminate the physical sense of them and the mental sense of them. In order to be so still that you can wait on the Lord to reveal the incorporeality that is there. And once you've eliminated them, then you must eliminate yourself, says Joel. I of myself can do nothing. I of myself am nothing. And so now I let the concept of a physical self or the concept of a mental self, I let that go. And now I stand still. And if God doesn't reveal incorporeality, I can go no further. This is the point at which I leave the letter and enter the spirit. This is the point in which I leave the mind and enter the awareness or consciousness. This is the point that I leave behind mind and I rest back in infinite consciousness. And if I will do this repeatedly until the experience comes, I will have the experience of incorporeality. And then the person that reached out to that consciousness touches their own incorporeality, the reality of them. And they say, wow, I feel better. Thank you. But concepts have improved over there. You know the reality is still the incorporeality. And so you're not buying the fact that they're sick, and you're not buying the fact that they're well. You know, you have touched, you have the awareness of the incorporeality of them. And so he says in chapter 7, that concept must die. Even the concept that you entertain of yourself must die. For that concept can never know God. It can never know reality. It can never know incorporeality. It is only as you refrain from judging by appearances. Remember, judge not by appearances. It means quite a bit more now, doesn't it? It's quite a bit deeper than don't believe what you're seeing with your eyes. It is only as you refrain from judging by appearances or from standing in the mind, and through a transformation of consciousness, be ye therefore transformed through the renewing of your mind, and let God define what you are and who you are, that the answer will be, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That doesn't mean that you'll just think that. No, thinking that has never done anything for you. It means you die to the concept of a physical sense of self. You die to the concept of a mental sense of self. You stand still in consciousness, naked as it were, with nothing to lean on, no props. And you wait upon the Lord. And you, as he says here, you let God define what you are and who you are. Then comes the living awareness. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then comes the living awareness. The Father and I are one. Then comes the living awareness. The Word is my invisible flesh, my incorporeality. And so he says, in reality, you are the beloved Son, the Word made flesh. But that flesh is an infinite, invisible individuality and an infinite body that is eternal. In this spiritual realization, that is spiritual discernment, of your individual embodiment, you can truly say, in my flesh, I see God. And so now comes the admonition, which we heard over the years, many, many thousands of times. Now it means something. Said, spoken from God within yourself, spoken from God as your invisible self, it says to the senses and to the mind, you be still and know I am God. And so the incorporeality of you reveals itself to your awareness. And you become aware of what you are. Now, our friend Jacob says it this way. And you have to realize these words were written in 1500, 1600. So you have to, probably in the early 1600s, so you have to listen with spiritual discernment in order to see that he's saying exactly what Joel said. And he says, by means of the introduction of the divine will, man becomes reunited to God and reborn in his nature. He then begins to die relative to the selfishness of the false desires in him and to be regenerated in new power. There is then still attached to him the carnal quality, but in the spirit he walks with God. And thus there is born within the earthly man of flesh a new spiritual man with divine perception and with divine will, killing day by day the lust of the flesh, and by divine power rendering the world, the external life, heavenly, causing heaven, the inner spiritual world, to become visible in the external world, so that God becomes man and man God, until finally the tree reaches its perfection, when the external shell will drop off, and it then stands there as a spiritual tree of life in the garden of God. This imbibing of the elixir of life no man can accomplish by his own mental power. All he can do is to render himself receptive for the divine power. The rest is done by the Spirit of God. Now you see that? You can feel the consciousness is the same. He is saying that you are reborn, regenerated. You walk in the Spirit with God. And you have divine perception or spiritual discernment, which reveals to you the life heavenly, and causing heaven, the inner spiritual world, to become visible in the external. In other words, as you become consciously aware through this rebirth of your own incorporeality, it then manifests itself, where before there was only concepts. But he says, you can't do this yourself. The mind can't do this. No man can accomplish this by his own mortal power. All he can do is to render himself receptive, see, in meditation, in your attitude. And the rest is done by the Spirit of God. And so he's in agreement with Joel that the Spirit of God is what brings to your awareness incorporeality when you step out of a personal sense of self or a mind sense of self. Now, to continue in incorporeality of God, man, and universe, Joel says, In one of my deeper meditations, when I was in full awareness of the incorporeality of myself, I saw that I could incarnate as a male or a female. That is because I, God, is neither male nor female. There is only one I. You have never had a beginning. You cannot coexist with God and have a beginning or an ending. You have always lived. You have always lived somewhere, but you may not have lived in the part of the world where you are now living. So, this incorporeality that you must become aware of, this has always existed. Before the mind formed this concept, which you thought was your life, you existed in the invisible. And you exist now in the invisible. In fact, you never left the invisible. And when this concept dies, you find yourself standing again in the invisible incorporeality of I, your being, the Father's being, all being. Now, I say to you this. When your day of passing comes, if all you have is a physical sense of self and a mental sense of self, and you're standing in that as it dies, then you will experience death, will you not? That will come to an end. But if you've already died to that, if you've died to that sense of self, that false sense of self, then, well, you're already standing in incorporeality, watching the concept dissolve. And in fact, if you have died to this physical sense of self, if you have died to a mental sense of self, and if you are standing in your own incorporeality, feeling it with full awareness of it, then what is there to die? When that moment of passing comes, you step out without leaving any of you behind. People may see their concept of you die, but for you there will be no death. You'll be standing in your eternal life. Right? Now let's see if I can find this other part I wanted to read. Okay, we go back over to chapter 7 here in the Kalua study series, and he says, our work is not to get rid of the body, but rather to be clothed upon with a new concept of body, or I like better, a new awareness of body. And at some time, we will all put off this outer envelope and step out into a higher heritage. For we know that if our earthly house of the tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's what we just said. Some will die after the flesh, and some will voluntarily lay down this form for a higher one, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, do you see that? We here in this group have the opportunity to lay down this concept voluntarily. Here, now, step into an awareness of incorporeality, of an incorporeal self, of an incorporeal supply, of an incorporeal life, of an incorporeal friend. We will find incorporeality. All right. Now, back over to the book, Incorporeality of God, Man, and Universe. Do you understand the point to which I am leading? Joel asked. You will never do good spiritual healing work until you attain the inner awareness, not the thought or the belief or the faith, but the inner awareness of the incorporeal nature of man's being. The only image there is of God is man. God appears as man, but since God is incorporeal, man is incorporeal. The fact that man has a corporeal body does not make him corporeal. The fact that he travels in an airplane does not make him an airplane. And the fact that he uses a body does not make him a body. Man himself is the same incorporeality that God is, because they are one, not two. It is God itself that is living man's life. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All right? But this must be an inner experience, first in your meditation, and later with eyes open. So I put in the margin here, some years ago, Joel is telling us in each meditation, we must drop the structural life of man, including patient and including ourself. Then comes the awareness of the truth of being or incorporeal being, and we rest in that, and healing follows. But what is it really? Is it really healing? No, we know better now. As he put here, a higher concept appears. That incorporeality dissolves the false concept of self and reveals a little more of the reality. And we call that a healing. So Joel says, to live mystically, you not only must live as I, but you cannot teach or heal except as you recognize that you are I, whether it's sitting on this side of the table or the other. Now, watch the difference, says Joel, when you begin to accept not only the incorporeality of God, but the incorporeality of man. Then, every day that you live, you become younger and stronger, because the more of incorporeal life you use, the more you have. You are dealing with an incorporeal God, manifest as an incorporeal man. You are living, moving, and have your being in the conscious awareness of this. That's the key word, the conscious awareness of this. You have the conscious awareness that God is your incorporeal being. God is your incorporeal body, first in your meditation, later with eyes open. And you look at your spouse, your child, your mother, your father, you have the conscious awareness of the incorporeality of their being, which is the incorporeality of your being. But, says Joel, if you are a human being who has nothing more than a physical body and a mind, then of course what I'm saying to you cannot make sense, because you have no capacity with which to receive it. And so in this ministry, or in the spiritual life, you must have this additional faculty of discernment, or none of this can make sense, which is why the wisdom of God is foolishness to man. You go out there on the street and say, hey, listen, Mr. Mailman, did you know that you're an invisible being, and all this walking around here is just a concept? And he'll probably say, well, that's fascinating, and scratch his head and walk away. Or, in Mr. Jacob's time, the church said, why, this is heresy, and wanted to burn them at the stake. At any rate, they have no capacity with which to receive it because they haven't had the experience or the awareness of it in meditation. And Joel says, I had a really hard time with business. He says, I ended up as broke as anyone has ever been, because I was trying to live in a corporeal sense of supply and demonstrate incorporeal supply, and it cannot be done. To attempt it is to tear yourself to pieces. You understand what he's saying there? He's saying This word, this silly little word, incorporeality, a lot of syllables, it must become, we must have this spiritual discernment, this inner capacity, or the Father within must reveal to us the incorporeality of our being, of our mate's being, the incorporeality of our supply, the incorporeality of our health, our life, the incorporeality of our beloved. We really must step out of corporeality into incorporeality. So he says we're carrying forward the unfoldment of the incorporeality of God into the incorporeality of man, the incorporeality of body, and the incorporeality of supply. Now, you must know that all supply is incorporeal, he says. When it appears visibly, we attach a corporeal sense to it. But it's just as invisible, it's just as present now as it ever will be in the invisible. As it manifests, we attach a corporeal sense to it, but it does not necessarily have to be that way. Many persons in moments of spiritual discernment have witnessed the incorporeal form of man. I, too, have beheld the incorporeal form hundreds of times, because when a person is in the spirit, that is all he can behold. Now, that should tell you right there that as you live and move and have your being in spirit, you the only thing you can behold is the incorporeality of those coming to you or those appearing to you. And so I repeat again where we started. We must be willing to let go of the concept of person. And in its place, stand still until the incorporeality of them is resurrected in our consciousness and comes out of that tomb. Then, when we see, when we behold, when we are consciously aware of the incorporeality, this then is what we can love forever with all of our mind, heart, and soul. And by seeing this, it then begins to manifest. And Joel said he did this hundreds and hundreds of times, sometimes with eyes closed, sometimes with eyes open. So he says, unless you have the spiritual vision, not the mental thought, not the belief, but the spiritual vision that can perceive beyond the physical senses and see the incorporeal man and woman, see fruits and trees and crops, all is incorporeal, even though you entertain the material sense of them, well, unless you can do that, the crippled man is going to stay crippled. The metaphysician who has not succeeded in spiritual ministry, in healing persons or demonstrating supply or bringing forth fruit, has failed because he has had an incorporeal God called Spirit, and he was trying to make it manifest corporeally. And there is no corporeal creation. Now, I have that triply underlined. There is no corporeal creation. It is we who entertain a corporeal sense of an incorporeal creation. See, we entertain a concept of the invisible. We entertain a concept of incorporeal being. And we love the concept and not incorporeal being. But you are to have no other gods before me. So he says, to know God aright, you must be unknowing. But to know man aright, or to know your spouse aright, you must be equally unknowing. And to know supply aright, you must be unknowing. You must never deal with corporeality in your spiritual ministry. The fabric of life, which is consciousness, is incorporeal. Although it appears as corporeal form, it is really incorporeal form. So if you focus on the concept appearing as form, then of course you'll have to go through the loss of that concept. But if you focus on the incorporeality and the incorporeal form, the Word made invisible flesh, this then is eternal, and you will, well, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Rising to mystical consciousness in prayer and treatment means rising into incorporeality. You must begin, says Joel, with an incorporeal God that you cannot see, hear, taste, touch, smell, or think. Be sure of that last point. You cannot think it. You can know God aright as long as you are not thinking. But if you stop with incorporeal God, your ministry will bring forth only the fringes of healing. The moment you have incorporeal man, and you drop his structural appearance, you will stop trying to reduce fevers and lumps. You will stop trying to arrest the aging process, because incorporeal man has none. He was never born, and he will never die. He was never born, and he cannot age. When you have that man as your ministry, you must have healings. And when you have that one, that incorporeal being as your spouse, then you must have love and eternal love. You must have companionship and eternal companion. You must have, well, more of that incorporeal being appearing as healings. This is the ultimate truth, says Joel. There's nothing left to teach. You cannot go beyond incorporeality. You cannot. You have to, you, each of you hearing this, you have to bring forth incorporeality out of your consciousness. Bring forth incorporeal man out of your consciousness, incorporeal body, and incorporeal supply. Do you see the importance now of why we should seek incorporeality? You see the purpose for this talk today? This is a very important principle, incorporeality. And so I suggest that you look at that chapter in Beyond Words and Thoughts, Incorporeality of God, Man, and Universe. I suggest you review, perhaps listen if you have the talks, otherwise read the talk in the Kalu Study Series, Chapter 7. The talk is called Understanding the Body. And I suggest you go into meditation and ask that the Father within, or the Presence, or the Christ, whatever you call it, the I of your being, reveal incorporeality to you. Now, let us be still for a moment and see if there's anything else to say. I of myself am nothing, yet there is an incorporeality here. Let it reveal itself. This is again one of those sayings that surely comes from, I have more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. And perhaps now we're in a way of spiritual discernment where we can bear it. And so you see, the way to eternal life is now in your hands. You can lay down the concept, and all of these concepts, willingly. You can step right out of the concept, right out of the mind that entertains concepts, and stand still. And the Christ of your being will lift you into an awareness, a consciousness of your own incorporeality, which of course is the incorporeality of all being. And that's all there ever was to the practice of spiritual healing. Simply to recognize this that I'm seeing as a concept. And the one seeing it as a concept. And now I let that go and stand here. And I am still. And I would know the incorporeality of God. And then stand there or rest there until incorporeality reveals itself to you. And when incorporeality reveals itself to you and you stand in it and you feel the humming of it, you feel the movement of it, you feel the vibration of it, it melts the concept and it itself takes form. And so it's up to each of you individually to decide, I will die to these concepts and step into my own incorporeality before I leave here. I will do it right here, right now, perhaps in little ways in my meditations at first, yet greater and greater as I go along, until I can stand in my incorporeal self, in my own incorporeality, in the incorporeality of I stand, or in the incorporeality of I rest. And behold, God makes all things new. And standing there, I never have to taste death again. And so I wish for you a whole new, happy new self, an incorporeal self, which you can tell no man about, but which you can experience and love with all your heart, mind, and soul. And rest in, and it will never leave you, because it is you. I wish for you this whole new incorporeal self. Blessings.